Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Greetings, humans. You have entered the command zone, your destination for all aspects of Elder Dragon Highlander. Enjoy your stay.
What's up, everybody? You're watching / listening to the Command Zone podcast. I'm one of your hosts today, Jimmy Wong.
Hi, I'm DJ.
And how's it? Josh Lee Kwai is not in the building because we've got a lot to cover this month, and we are blasting through all of Strixhaven. Today is the main set review part deux. That means we're covering all of the multicolored cards, and there are plenty because Strixhaven is basically Ravnica, but with new names for all the color pairings.
These are schools with deep lore, Jimmy.
Yes, I'm so sorry. You know, Doug Barra would definitely slap me for saying that. Sorry, Doug. I am very excited to talk about this stuff today. Of course, before we get into it, though, you see a lot of cards in front of us. Guess what? These cards combo with other cards. They fit into other amazing commander decks. You're going to want to pick up those cards. And look, why not do so and support this podcast at the same time? We are grinding so hard this month. I've never seen this office work harder. Head on over to cardkingdom.com/commandzone. That's our affiliate link. That's all you have to type in. And blammo, when they're there and you're purchasing the cards you already were going to get, you're supporting us on the podcast, and you're also getting the cards directly to your doorstep with great customer service. And hey, pick up some Ultra Pro Progs while you're at it. Sleeve your cards, keep them safe in their amazing... What do you use, Wise? Because I'm all about the Eclipse sleeves. The Gloss Pro Gloss Eclipse sleeves is what I put everything in these days.
Yeah, Eclipse sleeves are solid sleeves. Also, you can't go wrong with amazing magic art on your decks, really.
Yes, on your decks, your sleeves, your play mats. Ultra Pro is the place that's going to get the official art every single time, and so you can always count on them to have the coolest deck boxes and all that. Finally, support us directly at patreon.com/commandzone. Patrons get to watch game nights and extra turns a day early and join us on our Discord at a certain level. Talk to all of us, ask us questions, and we dedicate each episode to one lucky patron every single time, and this episode is dedicated to... Irvine Gates. Irvine, you rock.
Thanks.
Okay, let's move straight into it because we got a lot to cover today. This is Strixhaven Set Review Part 2. On the first part, we talked about all the non-legendary monocolored cards. Today, we're talking about all the non-legendary more than one color cards. And some no colors, right. So there's a lot to talk about. Of course, the cards from the Commander product, we will talk about those in separate episodes. So this is, again, just from the main set.
There's so much stuff to talk about. It's hard to keep track of, huh?
It really is. But, you know, because this is the set where the Commander precons come in, one thing that we found is that a lot of the power level is actually in the precons for Commander, and a little bit less so in the main set, which means that this is a little more tailored for Limited, Standard, Historic. So we're going to talk about a lot of cards today. If we sort of like jump past one, it's not because we don't think it's amazing in Commander, but we have a lot to cover, and we want to spend time on the cards that do matter. First up, though, let's talk about one of the new cycles. It is the Command cycle. So each of the schools / colleges at Strixhaven have a command attached to them. You may remember like Kolaghan's command, all of the Tarkir ones. They're similar in that they're very modal based and you can do a lot of fun stuff with them. Okay, let's start it off with Lorehold command. 3, a red and white for an instant. Choose 2. Create a 3/2 red and white spirit creature token, not flying notably. Creatures you control get +1/+0 and gain indestructible and haste until end of turn. Lorehold command deals 3 damage to any target. Target player gains 3 life. Sacrifice a permanent, then draw 2 cards. Okay, lots of stuff here. Five mana, though. You do get protection because you can give our creatures indestructible for that. And haste.
It's hard to hold up five mana for that protection, but it is nice that it's there.
Yep.
You know, this does have the default mode of create a spirit, instantly sacrifices to draw two cards.
Yeah, that's right.
Card draw in Lorehold in Boros.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And we will note that in the monocolored review, there is a three and a white card that flickered your board and returned it, which is also protection. So it looks like red and white are getting a lot of sort of help in that world to keep their board safe. You
it's
know,
expensive, and honestly, expensive, like yeah. we don't care about 3/2s that much. It's nice that it grants haste and gives a pump, but at five mana, what are you giving haste to during that time?
Right.
You know, if it was cheaper, you could be like, oh, I'm going to play this, and then give them both haste, pump my whole team. Like you can see lines of play. It does give haste to that 3/2 that you could create.
Yeah, it doesn't seem so exciting.
I think that the place that I see this is Firesong and Sunspeaker decks. They always want Lightning Helixes that deal three damage, gain three life. And so I think that they're going to like love to have protection at any mana value and that Lightning Helix effect.
Yeah. Okay. Lorehold Command, not too bad. Not amazing either. Next up is Prismari Command, the red blue. This is one red and a blue for an instant. Choose two. Prismari Command deals two damage to any target. Target player draws two cards, then discards two cards. Target player creates a treasure token or destroy target artifact. Now, this is a lot better. The fact that it can blow up an artifact is great. And then everything else here, not bad. You make a treasure token, so then this goes down to a 2-mana total cost, sort of like in
net. You
get
a refund.
Yeah, refund, yeah. You can deal 2 damage to something, kill it, or you can draw 2 and discard 2. So I actually like all of the things here. Plus, it's just 3-mana for an instant.
Is it Charm sees play in Commander? It just does. And Is it Charm draws 2, it loots 2, just like this one. It deals 2 damage. This is more flexible. It blows up an artifact.
Yeah, that's
that I think is the key, because artifacts are dangerous. And the fact that you can answer an artifact means that this is going to see a lot more play than many other lands.
And it deals 2 damage, right? So that also means that this is a great, great, great slot in your deck for just a really modal, nice-looking single-target removal spell.
People also play Electrolyze in Commander, too, and that's 2 damage draw card, essentially.
Yeah.
And this can do something pretty similar.
So I see Prismari Command as being quite the staple in that regard. All right, Quandrix Command. One green and a blue for an instant. Choose two. Return target creature or planeswalker to its owner's hand. Or counter target artifact or enchantment spell. Or put 2+1/+1 counters on target creature. Or target player shuffles up to 3 target cards from their graveyard into their library. Okay, the bounce.
Bounce isn't great in Commander, but I've seen it used. Like, people do play Cyclonic Rift for 2 sometimes.
Yep. How about countering an artifact or an enchantment spell? That seems pretty nice.
It is good. I do really like, I think that what you really want to counter in many situations are instants and sorceries, though. So this is going to be pretty narrow.
Yep. Unless they're, you know, your opponents are dropping those 7 mana, just like trying to win the game, Great Henge type cards,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. So, like, trust me, you do need to answer artifacts and enchantments. They are, I think that's better than countering a creature, probably. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't play it for that. It's just nice to have it.
Okay, put 2+1/+1 counters on target creature. That's just a classic green-blue thing.
Yeah, only in counter decks. And if you love counters, then this could thematically fit into your +1/+1 counter deck, and then also counter that artifact or enchantment.
Yep, and then shuffling up to 3 target cards from their graveyard into their library. So this is kind of like graveyard hate, but also rebuys something for you and your graveyard, potentially.
Yeah, and it's not the graveyard hate that we really want, which is just wipe your graveyard, but this can interrupt certain, you know, combos. It can interrupt very specific cards in the graveyard. And so it's fine. It's passable.
I like this actually quite a bit overall. You've got a lot of modes on here. None of them are super powerful and amazing. It's always very specific, right? You can't target anything. It has to be an artifact or enchantment. But I could see using the first two pretty often, returning something and then countering something.
I think I'm only going to play this card in +1/+1 counter synergy decks where it belongs thematically and it feels good in that. Otherwise, I would want a more reliable counter spell.
Notably, you can bounce your own stuff to your hand, so creature or planeswalker, so that might be a little more welcome in certain decks as well. Okay, next up is Silver Quill Command. 2, a white and a black for a sorcery. Choose 2. By the way, I'm already out.
Sorcery. Yeah.
All right, target creature gets +3/+3 and gains flying until end of turn, so pump and evasion. Return target creature card with mana value 2 or less from your graveyard to the battlefield. Okay. Or target player draws a card and loses 1 life, or target opponent sacrifices a creature. Okay, sorcery speed really makes this suck.
And all of these effects don't even add up to 5 mana. You don't save mana on any of these effects. Like if you were to combine other cards together,
yeah,
like you're not saving mana.
Yeah, the fact that you can only get a mana value 2 or less creature from your graveyard to the battlefield.
That's a 1 mana spell.
Doesn't look great.
Unearth? Is it Unearth?
Yeah, Unearth. And then drawing a card and losing a life is just whatever. Again, 4 mana to do some of these things.
Yeah, you can, for example, you can draw 2 and lose 2 for 2 mana, so that feels like another 1 mana ability.
Right.
So you get a creature back and draw a card. It feels good. It feels like a good 2-for-1, but it's so far away from being worth 5 mana.
It would be great if you could make someone sack a creature at instant speed, but because it's sorcery, you just are really going to make sure that you're not be able to, right? Because maybe they play a big creature, and then before they can cast their second one, you make them sack it. That's cool.
Is it at least each opponent sacrifices a creature?
No, just target opponent. Yeah, so we're pretty much out on that one. But if it fits your deck, TJ and I give you an enthusiastic thumbs up. All right, finally, we have Witherbloom Command, black and a green for a sorcery. Choose 2. Target player mills 3 cards, then you return a land card from your graveyard to your hand. Destroy target non-creature non-land permanent with mana value 2 or less. Target creature gets -3/-1 until end of turn. Target opponent loses 2 life and you gain 2 life. Okay, those first 3, I like that.
Do you know what's weird? It's -3/-1, but it's sorcery speed.
Hmm.
Why are you affecting the power that much at sorcery speed? I don't know.
Yeah, interesting.
I mean, it opens up attacks maybe, but that feels weird.
That does feel really weird.
I feel like the best mode on this is the mill and they get something back. Right?
Yeah, or killing mana value 2 or less non-creature non-lands, right?
Yes, soul killing rings. A soul ring is quite okay.
Yeah.
I think that you might want to, I don't know, the -3/-1.
I mean, it's right, it's not going to kill that much. If it was -1/-3, nice. That's a really nice removal spell. So this kind of just says you can destroy a soul ring type thing, and it's like a good mill and bounce and return the land. The other parts of it don't look great. Green and black, I don't think, need a lot of help in any of these regards. So
yeah,
again,
you can mill more. Remember I talked to you about Winding Way, my new favorite,
yes, like, Winding Way's
pretty
good
card to get lands back and creatures back into the graveyard at 2 mana.
Yep. Witherbloom Command is withering. It's opinion. My opinion of it is going down. Okay, let's cover some of the new planeswalkers. Now, we talked about Professor Onyx in the last set, but these 2 planeswalkers are actually multicolored. So we're going to cover both of them here. The first are the twins, the Lannisters, whatever you want to call them.
The Kenrith twins.
It's Rowan and Will. On the front, we have Rowan, Scholar of Sparks, 2 and a red for a 2 loyalty planeswalker. And this says it on both sides, by the way. Instant and sorcery spells you cast cost 1 less to cast. The +1 on Rowan deals 1 damage to each opponent. If you've drawn 3 or more cards this turn, she deals 3 damage to each opponent instead. And the -4, you get an emblem with whenever you cast an instant or sorcery, you may pay 2. If you do copy that spell, you may choose new targets for the copy. On the back, it's Will, and he costs more mana. It's 4 and a blue for a 4 loyalty planeswalker that, again, at the top says instant and sorcery spells you cast cost 1 less to cast. +1, up to 1 target creature has base power and toughness 0/2 until your next turn. -3, draw 2 cards. -7, exile up to 5 target permanents. For each permanent exiled this way, its controller creates a 4/4 blue and red elemental creature token. So the idea probably would be play Will, draw 2 cards, play Rowan, have that third card be drawn as your card for turn, and then her +1 Rowan.
Yeah, except for...
you can only have one of these in your commander deck.
Yeah.
Whoops.
Whoopsie doodle. Look, I always underestimate the power of 3-mana walkers, and so I think that Rowan could be better than I'm initially thinking.
For sure.
I like that they have the same effect on both sides. That way I can remember it's just everything's reduced by 1. Usually if you want that effect, you want it on an enchantment or something a little bit that's more harder to interact with than just be able to, you know, attack down your cool mana cheating ability.
Yeah, it's a really strong ability in the right decks because you're casting multiple instant sorceries a turn, so you're just saving tons of mana.
So I think that I'm underestimating Rowan because it comes down early, and that ultimate is something that is very good. That is game-winning over a long commander game, for sure.
Every time you cast an instant or sorcery, you can pay 2 to copy it. So that's pretty good. You just need a +1 her twice. If you get her down early and protect her...
like 3/+1 immediately... like sometimes on 3, like people don't have the ability to attack your planeswalker. You have some defenses. So I can see how Rowan, especially with that ultimate, could take over. Would you play Will at all?
I don't think so.
5-mana draw two?
The plus one is really bad. The minus three, yeah. 5-mana draw two, not great either. This seems like Rowan is the kind of card
you want
to play.
I don't even like the ultimate on Will.
Yeah, Will's ultimate is
whatever.
Exile
five things, get
and then they all get 4/4s. Yeah, I mean, look, and you're never going to get there. It's minus seven and he starts at four. Rowan being at two and her is at minus four for her ultimate makes a lot more sense to me. So I think really you're playing Rowan in the Spellslinger deck on the front side mostly, but otherwise I think this is a pretty lackluster Planeswalker, unfortunately.
I'm hoping that it's better than we think it is. And yeah. People play Rowan, protect it, they ultimate, and then they have a great commander game as they double up everything that they play.
That'd be pretty cool. Yeah. All right, the next Planeswalker is Kasmina. She's back. Enigma Sage, one a green and a blue for a 2 loyalty Planeswalker. So another 3-mana walker. And it has a static ability. Each other Planeswalker you control has the loyalty abilities of Kasmina Enigma Sage. So any ability that we read here, if you have another Planeswalker on the battlefield, they have it as well. It's kind of like the Bolas, but the opposite, where Bolas takes other people's ultimates and puts it on him. Kasmina gives it to everyone else. The plus two of Kasmina is Scry 1. The minus X is create a 0/0 green and blue fractal creature token, put X+1/+1 counters on it. So if you play Kasmina for 3 and minus X for 2, she dies and you get a 2/2. Not great. And the minus 8, search your library for an instant or sorcery card that shares a color with this Planeswalker. Exile that card, then shuffle. You may cast that card without paying its mana cost.
This feels very tame. It feels like they didn't want to break stuff.
Right.
So they made sure that, you know, all of these abilities, because like the uptick, you know, the uptick could be really disastrous on a lot of Planeswalkers out there. Scry.
Yeah. It's plus 2, which is really good for Planeswalkers that are trying to climb towards their ultimate faster. For instance, Rowan.
Yeah, Rowan could plus 2.
Could plus 2, go to 4, and then immediately ultimate. So I mean.
So I like that, but you're basically doing it just for the loyalty, not really for the effect.
Yeah, so I like Kasmina a bit just because I like her in Super Friends decks, giving all of your Planeswalkers an ability to scry and add a lot of loyalty.
What about, Jimmy, you wrote down putting this on some of the Planeswalkers that don't have pluses.
Yes, the War of the Spark Planeswalkers, like yeah. Narset, Parter of Veils, and Ashiok Dream Renderer. Ooh, now you can tick them up and use their abilities again. That's pretty interesting.
I like that.
You wrote this next one down, which is disgusting.
I wrote this next one down. Teferi, Master of Time.
That's right. We can use his abilities on every player's turn. Now it's a plus 2 we can use in every player's
turn.
And
remember, the minus that you can do at instant speed is a time stretch. Like,
yeah.
You take 2 extra turns. Like, the minus on Kasmina, it's like a free spell. Whatever.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, definitely make whatever.
That's
there.
Fine. But with Teferi,
plus two.
I think you ultimate immediately.
Yeah, it's pretty darn good. The nice part about the minus X is that if you have a Planeswalker and you just need to make a blocker with them, then they can do that without potentially killing themselves. Maybe they have 5 loyalty when they come in, yeah. And you make 3/3.
Well, people were talking about Whatley or Gideon, the bad ones, the ones that basically add a ton of loyalty based on the creatures.
Yeah,
and so either creatures you have or creatures your opponents have. And so sometimes they can get huge, and usually they can't really use that loyalty very well. Now they can, you know, cast instants and sorceries or make dudes.
Right. Okay. All right. Good job, Kasmina. Another 3-mana loyalty Planeswalker, or 3-mana CMC Planeswalker.
We got a few more of those, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Seriously, your preview card attempted by the Auric.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. They can start taking these.
More Planeswalkers than ever.
Yeah, unfortunately, none of them are Oko. Okay. So we're going to go through all of the colleges now. We're going to start off with Witherbloom. We've got 4 cards here that we're going to talk about. The first is Pestilent Cauldron. It's an MDFC, just like Will and Rowan. And on the back of it, you have a card called Restorative Burst. So the front side of Pestilent Cauldron is 2 in the black for an artifact. Tap, discard a card. Create a 1/1 black and green pest creature token with, when this creature dies, you gain 1 life. You can also pay 1 and tap the cauldron, and each opponent mills cards equal to the amount of life you gain this turn. Or you can pay 4 and tap the cauldron to exile 4 target cards from a single graveyard and draw a card. On the back, Restorative Burst is 3 green-green for a sorcery. Return up to 2 target creature, land, and or planeswalker cards from your graveyard to your hand. Each player gains 4 life, and you exile Restorative Burst. Okay, so I think this backside, not great. 5 mana to regrow 2 things, and then everyone gains 4 life. I don't see myself playing that ever.
Well, I mean, if it's free tacked on to a spell on the front that you like,
that's
you might
even
end
better.
Up playing it. Yeah.
Yes, it's true. So that's the beauty of MDFCs. Obviously, one side's probably going to be better than the other for your deck or whatever you're trying to do. But having the option on the backside could be great, too. Maybe it's late in the game, and you have to buy this thing back and replay it, and that's going to get you there.
Because this one... if you don't have, like, let's say that you're behind, because if you got your engine going, I can see you gaining life and milling people, mm-hmm. or, you know, discarding random cards. I don't know why you'd make a pest for a card, but whatever.
Yeah, I don't think you're ever doing that. That seems pretty bad unless you're so happy to put cards in your graveyard.
Yeah, something like that. But milling people when you're gaining life is crazy. But if you don't have that engine going, I could see you playing the backside.
Yeah, I do like that you get to exile four target cards and you can repeat that. So it's not a full thing, but at least it is some graveyard hate. And you got to draw a card, but four mana to do so is a bit restrictive.
Yeah, I think that's the name of this card, is that, like, everything is not quite the rate you want to pay for it.
Yeah.
But it does a lot of things.
Yay. I mean, maybe if you're in a Korvold deck, you're okay discarding cards because you're going to create a 1-1 black thing that you're going to sacrifice. And then boom, you get to get a bunch of cards from Korvold. I don't know.
Okay. Culling Ritual. 2 black green for sorcery. Destroy each non-land permanent with mana value 2 or less. Add black or green for each permanent destroyed this way.
Okay, this is powerful. This is a 4-mana board wipe that gets rid of everyone's mana rocks.
Yeah,
but and then you get mana.
And then you get mana. I'm wondering if this can break even, if you can just cast it for free.
Oh, almost definitely.
You think so?
Yeah.
Like everyone 2 or less? Because not everyone has a soul ring, but they're mana rocks and elves.
Everyone's, unless they're ramping with green, people are playing signets. They're playing, you know, all of their arcane signets and stuff. You will be able to get rid of a lot of stuff. And then maybe sometimes you even capture some other smaller things on the road while you play the Culling Ritual.
Tokens,
for sure.
Tokens.
Yeah.
You get a ton of mana. Man, now that I'm thinking about it, you've kind of laid it out there. I can see you getting a ton of mana for this. This could definitely be sort of a ritual that ramps you into even bigger things, ramps you into your big commander.
Yeah, I could see the play pattern for this in the green deck. You ramp out a bunch of lands, you hold on to your mana rocks, and then you play this on turn 3 or 4 or 5. Everyone blows up all their stuff, and then you dump your mana rocks on the table because you've been holding them, knowing that you're going to cull the rest of them. Yeah, it's pretty mean.
It is a little bit strange, though, because a lot of times your removal or your wipes are there to answer threats to you.
Yeah.
And a lot of times what you're getting in this spell is not really a threat. It's just like their value, their enablers. Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
But it is kind of interesting to have this tempo play that interrupts their enablers. I like that. I don't think that you should put it specifically in the removal or the board wipe section of your deck. It should be sort of a value play.
Yeah. This almost sometimes reads as like more single target removal because you're just getting rid of specific things. But I would say this is like, it's in between single target and board wipe.
Yeah.
And maybe even counts as ramp. Depends on your meta. Depends on the players around you. I like that quite a bit. Okay. Next up, we got Dame Goth Titan. This is 4 Golgari or 4 Witherbloom, whatever you want to call it now. So it's black, green, black, green, black, green, black, green. Any combination of those for 4 CMC. Creature Demon, it's an 11-10.
Woohoo!
Whenever this attacks or blocks, sacrifice a creature.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. So if you're in the deck with a bunch of pests, you're in the Aristocrats deck, you got a lot of fodder, you want to sacrifice things, cool, go for it. But it has to attack or block.
How much mana is it again?
4 mana for an 11-10.
That's so big for so little.
Yeah. If it's the only creature on the board, you can't. I mean, it blocks, you have to sacrifice itself. So I think this is good in decks that, for some reason, need a really big, huge creature, and they're aristocrats at the same time. It feels a little at odds there.
I would like to draw cards equal to its power, please.
That would be pretty nice. Or fling it or whatever. Yeah, and I think if your opponents are deathly afraid of you sacking creatures, like if you sack one more creature, oh my gosh, we're all going to die, then attacking with the Dame Goth Titan feels pretty good because Dame Goth, sorry, because no one's going to stop you.
Awesome. All right, I've got Harness Infinity here. 1 black, 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 green, green, green. Those are some mana requirements
No kidding.
For an instant, exchange your hand and graveyard. Exile Harness Infinity.
Okay.
So that's 7 CMC. At instant speed is very interesting.
I think that's pretty interesting. Instant speed is pretty good here.
But it's just like, graveyard hand?
Yeah.
This is why you need graveyard removal for things like this.
Well, it's instant speed though, because someone could go to remove your graveyard and then you cast this in response. You don't want to cast this and then someone exiles your graveyard in response. That would suck. That's just discard your hand and pay 7 mana.
Oh my gosh, that would be amazing.
I will say Morality Shift is a card that puts your graveyard, it switches your graveyard and library, and then you could play this and just draw your entire, if you have a Tassigar deck, your Hermit Druid decks, your Spider Spawning decks, this is a great way to just put a ton of cards into your hand.
The card that I was wondering about is this any better than Praetor's Counsel? That just basically, you don't have to discard your hand, it's 8 mana, and you just take your whole graveyard and put it in your hand, and you have no maximum hand size for the rest of the game.
Is it in the same deck? I don't know. I mean, they like, do yeah, feel
but what is
similar.
It better? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Because that's really restrictive mana cost.
Yeah.
So it might feel like, it might actually be eight. You know what I mean? Because it's so restrictive. It's instant speed, but you do have to pitch part of your hand. But when you're casting this, does your hand really matter?
This you have to set up for Harness Infinity to work. You have to make sure that your graveyard is ready to be switched with your hand. And, you know, maybe you're in the kind of game where you're milling a bunch or you're just casting a bunch of spells. In late game, you do want to cast this because you got two cards in your hand. It's the best top deck ever because you're going to draw 18 cards or whatever as a result.
Mm. Okay, I like that. Jimmy, question. This or Seasons Past?
Seasons Past, probably, because you don't, right, you don't need to pay black, green, you just do four green, whatever that is.
Six, yeah. Yeah. Okay.
But again, I think Harness Infinity probably just goes more in the deck that...
It goes over the top, that there's a ton of stuff that goes in there, and you get it
maybe,
back at instant speed.
Maybe it's a Korvold-type deck, right, that's always sacrificing things. Maybe it is your Lord Windgrace deck that has a ton of lands in there.
Like a Marin deck that sort of keeps pumping things into the graveyard kind of thing?
Yeah, something that wants to build a graveyard naturally so that you don't have to force it.
Got it.
All right, moving on to Silver Quill, our white black. First is the Selfless Glyph Weaver MDFC on one side and Deadly Vanity on the other. So Selfless Glyph Weaver is 2W for a 2/3 human cleric. Exile it. Creatures you control gain indestructible until end of turn, okay? On the back, Deadly Vanity is 5BB, 8 mana, for a sorcery. Choose a creature or planeswalker, then destroy all other creatures or planeswalkers. Okay, so that's kind of like your Dune Blast type effect. Save one thing, blow everything else up. But 8 mana is a lot.
Dune Blast was 7, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's one more, but it's also attached to a pretty relevant creature on the front, right?
Yeah, being able to exile this and give your creatures indestructible, Selfless Spirit is a card you noted, and that's right now it's pretty expensive at $12.
Yeah, people play Selfless Spirit, and I look for that effect. We talk about the ability to protect your board, and having a creature on the battlefield that protects your board is good.
Yeah.
Late game board wipe, do you know what? It's on the backside of a relevant creature. I'll take it. It's almost free. You know?
Yeah, I'm happy to draw this early. If I draw it late and go, oh, sweet, I can save one thing and blow everything else up. Not bad, not bad at all. Maybe I will cast that if you're playing your Ingaric's Wake and stuff like that, or your Necromantic Selections.
Yeah. Okay, I have one of my favorite cards from the set.
Ooh.
It's called Blot Out the Sky. X white black for a sorcery. Create X tapped 2/1 white and black Inkling creature tokens with flying. If X is 6 or more, destroy all non-creature, non-land permanents.
Hmm. Non-creature, non-land. So you make 6 2/1s with flying that are tapped, and then you blow up everything else that's not a creature or a land.
Yeah.
Wow. It's a sorcery, though, which kind of sucks.
It is a sorcery, but it has me feeling like Finale of Glory, that also has two colored and then X and then creates a bunch of knights.
And then something cool happens at 10.
At 10, yeah. This one gives you 2/1 flyers.
Yeah, like, 6 2/1 flyers if you cast it.
I mean, just imagine if you cast this for a reasonable 4. You create 4 mana, 2 2/1 flyers.
Not bad.
Yeah.
They are tapped, so you kind of have to wait, unless you have a card that untaps them, of course. So you have to wait until your next turn. This is great, I think, if you're able to give it flash speed with an orrery or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. It would be better if it was flashy, but...
I do like how cute they are. They're little inklings, and this one in the front, look at the eyes on that one.
Aww.
It is cute compared to the other ones.
I like it.
So Blot the Sky, I actually think this is pretty good. If it was an instant, it'd be really nuts, but... For what it is and what you can make with it, I actually like it.
I think token decks are going to really like it. People do play Finale of Glory. They do play Secure the Waste. I know that's at instant speed. But 2/1 flyers are way more relevant than 2/2 knights or 1/1 soldiers.
Yeah, even at 4 mana where you pay X is equal to 2, you make 2 2/1s, so not bad.
Yeah.
All right, Dramatic Finale is the Orzhov, bunch of Orzhov costs or Silver Quill costs. So it's 4 Orzhov or 4 white, black. And you can pay those four. It's so hard to describe these cards. You can pay it in any combination of white or black for 4 CMC total.
Jimmy, can you pay white?
Yes, you can.
Black.
Bingo.
White, black.
Bingo. white, black. Black, white. And I think that's it. Okay, Dramatic Finale, Enchantment. This is a powerful card. Creature tokens you control get +1/+1. Whenever one or more non-token creatures you control die, create a 2/1 white and black Inkling creature token with flying. This triggers... Oh, wait, I didn't read this last part. This ability triggers only once each turn.
Womp, womp.
Womp, womp.
So Intangible Virtue is an anthem like this that costs 2 mana. And that effect, honestly, even though it's only triggering once per turn, I think that might be worth 2 mana to have that on an enchantment.
True.
Because these Inklings are real creatures.
Yeah, this is, however, 4 mana. But if you put this in like Tesa Karlov, it feels like an auto-include because you're going to get that double up from Tesa Karlov, right? Mm-hmm. Same with Thalise, Reverent Medium, another big token deck. But the fact that it only does it once per turn, maybe you just need to do it so that you're sacrificing creatures on everyone's turn so it triggers once each turn.
Yeah, I think that it needs to be pushed a little bit more to see a lot of play.
Yeah, but okay. it's nice.
Fracture, white to black, for an instant, destroy target artifact, enchantment, or planeswalker.
Wow, wait, what? White and the black for that? Artifact, enchantment, or planeswalker?
Now, I asked the question of you, Jimmy, that is this
better or worse than D-Spark?
D-Spark. And I thought it was better, and
I think D-Spark is better.
Okay.
Yeah, this might be better, again, dependent on the mana. D-Spark says you exile target permanent with converted mana cost 4 or greater. So it is exiling, and it's a permanent. Now, this only, and Fracture only targets artifacts, enchantments, or planeswalkers.
So here's the thing, if both of us like D-Spark better, are we just not playing this?
I don't know. I mean, maybe you need one more piece of, you know, removal.
Over like Anguished Unmaking or, true. You know,
I guess it really just depends, right? Black, white, and we'll see this throughout this set too. They just have so many options for removal.
I think here's one thing is that Mortify is like so far down the list now.
True.
Or like Unmake is so far down the list now because we have just as many things as we want to choose.
Yeah, I guess if there are a lot of enchantments and artifacts that are 4 CMC or less, which makes, you know, D-Spark a little worse, then maybe you might want to run a Fracture or you just need to have a 2-mana ability to get rid of something really, right? I could see maybe CEDH being more attracted to this than a regular commander deck because they have D-Sparks and Anguish Unmakings. It is non-common though, so it's very accessible. Mm-hmm. All right, finally, the last card from Silverquill is Vanishing Verse, black and a white for an instant, and it just says exile target mono-colored permanent. Okay, so again,
by the way, in this set, for the amount of cards that we see in front of us, this is might not be good removal in this set.
Yeah, because we have every so card many multicolored set, yeah, cards that's a good in front point. Of us. It is very good, though, for a lot of cards in Commander. There are a lot of very powerful monocolored permanents. By the way, permanent, so you technically can get rid of a land with this, right?
I think it's a non-colored permanent. I don't think it's monocolored.
Well, Vanishing Verse does get rid of a lot of permanents in that case.
And you know what? Now that you're thinking about it, I don't know if I like it even more. Because now, like, almost every artifact dodges it.
Oh, that's a good point, because they don't have any color. Ah, very smart. I didn't even think about that. I think, like, this seemed really efficient to me because of the cards that it does get rid of, the big enchantments, the scary creatures. When you need to exile something, it makes a big difference, like the gods, right? Like a Purphoros.
You're right, this does get rid of that kind of stuff, and it gets rid of the Purphoros. Oh man, it gets rid of the Purphoros when it's an enchantment.
Go, yeah, that's right, instead of waiting for a creature,
because like you, oh man, you make a good point, Jimmy.
So this is what I think deck builders
need to do. But Anguished Unmaking, like you just go back to Anguished Unmaking, or you know.
I think what deck builders need to do is you have a list: Vanishing Verse, Fracture, D-Spark, Anguish Unmaking, Path to Exile, right? Like, put all of those cards in front of you when you're building a deck with black and white. Say, I have X number of slots for single target removal. Look at them and then make your decisions based on your meta and your playgroup. Because there's just so many options. You know, you can make an argument for one or the other, and it could change if you go from one playgroup to the other too. So that might be one of those things where just now black and white has so many options, you just got to lay them all out there and make a really good decision based on what you think you're going to come up against.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have Prismari, Lorehold, Quandrix, Colorless coming up right after this. Lots more, some really exciting stuff. Make sure you stick around because right now we're going to hear from our mid-roll sponsors.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angi can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angi that. Download the free Angi mobile app today or visit Angi.com. That's ANGI.com.
Hey, I'm Nolan Sykes, a host of Past Gas, the number one automotive podcast in the world. Every week, my co-hosts, James Pumphrey, Joe Weber, and I bring you some of our favorite stories from the hallowed halls of car history. From the amazing to the weird to the utterly unforgettable moments, we cover it all. Join us as we take a look at the wild stories and larger-than-life characters behind legendary cars and car makers. So if you love cars or just like a good story, check out Past Gas by Donut Media, the number one automotive podcast in the world.
All right, we are back and we are talking about the multicolored cards from Strixhaven in the main set, not the Commander product. And we're moving on to our next college here. It is Prismari. This first one we're going to talk about is the Torrent Sculptor / Flamethrower Sonata. This is pretty funny. You made a Mad Max reference here.
Flamethrower Sonata? Come on.
Yeah, that's...
That is so Mad Max right there.
Yeah, exactly. It's the guy that's playing the guitar and the thing. Okay. Torrent Sculptor is 2 blue-blue for a 2/2 merfolk wizard with ward 2. So if it becomes the target of a spell or an ability the opponent controls, you counter it unless they pay 2. When Torrent Sculptor enters the battlefield, exile an instant or sorcery card from your graveyard. Put a number of +1/+1 counters on Torrent Sculptor equal to half that card's mana value rounded up. On the backside, Flamethrower Sonata, 1 and a red for a sorcery. Discard a card, then draw a card. When you discard an instant or sorcery card this way, Flamethrower Sonata deals damage equal to that card's mana value to target creature or planeswalker you don't control. Let's get one thing out of the way. This front side sucks. I'm not playing this ever.
It's just, it can get big sometimes, maybe.
Yeah, and like, it's half the card's mana value. So even if you're getting rid of like a 8-mana spell, you're only putting 4/1 counters on it. Yeah. Flamethrower Sonata, though, seems interesting. You get to discard and draw a card for 1 and a red, which is not great because you
can do that for 1 mana usually.
Yeah, and also you're down on card value, right? You're paying a spell and discarding a card to draw a card. But discarding an instant sorcery, if it has flashback or something, you're going to want to do that, and then it's going to deal damage. So this is a removal spell in the right deck for a Spellslinger deck. Deals damage equal to that card's mana value to target creature or planeswalker.
Sometimes you want to get cards in the graveyard, and if you can kill a creature and replace it along with it, it can be okay. I think that this is very narrow.
Yeah, there's lots more that you can do that's better than this here. And I think if you are going to play it, you're more likely to play it for the backside than the front. Mm-hmm. All right, next up, Culmination of Studies. X, a blue and a red for a sorcery. Exile the top X cards of your library. For each land card exiled this way, create a treasure token. For each blue card exiled this way, draw a card. For each red card exiled this way, Culmination of Studies deals 1 damage to each opponent.
People talked about this card, but Jimmy, I don't like it.
I don't like it either because we've seen this type of card so many times where it's like X, red, blue. You're going to exile these main cards off the top of your library. You're going to do some cool stuff.
Well, think about it this way. If you just happen to exile 3 blue cards off there, you've paid 5 mana to draw 3 cards.
Right.
That might be the best case scenario. What if you exile 3 lands? You create 5 mana to make 3 treasures?
3 treasures, yeah. That's actually a really good point. People are all like, red.
People are like, well, what if there isn't cards? Then it does damage and they draw. Still no.
Okay, yeah. I mean, that's like nice, but I'd rather have a blue card that's also a land. So I get a treasure token and draw a card. Yeah, this just seems like a lot of work for nothing that's necessarily guaranteed. And I, like you wrote here, I can't see a rate there I want to cast this spell.
Yeah, I don't.
If you're in a Mizzix deck, maybe you can cast like this for like 20 or something crazy. Sure, but then you're also exiling a bunch of cards out of your library.
And then also, but think about Mizzix decks and what they can do when it gets up that big.
Yeah, you can win the game in a bunch of other ways. So yeah, let's just move past this. Let's get out of here. My throat hurts from talking too much about these cards. Next up is the Elemental Expressionist. This is the Prismari version. So it's, again, 4 mana value total, and you can pay any combination of blue or red to cast it. It's a 4/4 Orc Wizard with Magecraft. Whenever you cast or copy an instant or sorcery spell, choose target creature you control until end of turn it gains. If this creature would leave the battlefield, exile it instead of putting it anywhere else. And when you exile this creature, create a 4/4 blue and red elemental creature token. And each instance of that ability triggers separately. So,
it's really interesting because it doesn't feel like this is the colors for like sacrificing your own stuff and upgrading.
Yeah, it's not the blue and red is not the token colors, but this is like cast a copy and instant or sorcery, and then you kind of protect a creature because if it leaves, you exile it and you make a 4/4 instead.
I've seen like Saheeli decks and those young Pyromancer decks. That they do about, make some card decks,
yeah, Thopters
that make those
stuff.
Tokens, but also you really just want to cast spells a bunch. I don't know. What do you think, Jimmy?
I don't like it. One, it's only in Izzet decks because the mana cost is literally blue or red mana. You need to be casting a bunch of spells and it's only one creature at a time. So let's say it's like, oh no, a board wipe. And you're like, well, I'm gonna get some extra value out of it or whatever.
I'll brainstorm and then get a
4/4. It doesn't seem that great. And it just seems like with Izzet and the so many different things they can do, protecting your creatures in a spells matter deck, you're not going to even have that many creatures that you're going to want to protect, and you're not even protecting them. You're actually getting them out of your graveyard because you're exiling them and you're making a 4/4 instead.
Yeah, so that's what I was thinking. They would have to be really small because you're upgrading them a little bit, but right, you're not even upgrading them to something that spectacular.
Yeah.
Okay, Expressive Iteration. Blue and a red for a sorcery. Look at the top three cards of your library. Put one of them into your hand, one of them in the bottom of your library. Exile one of them. You may play the exiled card this turn.
Okay, now we're talking. Blue and a red, that's pretty cheap to look at the top three, like anticipate, but it's in blue and red. I like this a lot.
I like this a lot too, because I also like that the one that you exile, you can play. So that means that you can exile the land and then play it.
Yes, that's fantastic. So you're almost right, like I would say top three cards. You're pretty good chance you're going to get a land. 1-3 chance to draw a land out of a deck that has around 37 lands in it out of the 99, and it's going to be less by the time you play this. You're going to put one into your hand and one on the bottom library, right? I like this a lot.
Yeah, that's two cards. If you can play that card that you exiled, it's two cards worth of value for two mana. Chart a Course, there's like hoops for that, and that's pretty playable.
Yeah.
Like two cards for two mana is good, and this gives you one extra level of selection.
Yeah, the selection's good. They probably didn't want that last card to go to the graveyard because that'd be way too powerful.
I know, right? I wanted it to go to the graveyard so badly.
Yeah, that would be a little too powerful. Or if they made this an instant or something, right?
Yeah, I did want it to be an instant too.
But it's
still good. I think that Prismari decks will play it.
Yeah, and this is the kind of spell that I think you're looking for in the Magecraft decks. They need to be cheap, efficient. You can play a lot of them and trigger Magecraft abilities a lot. Okay, now this next one is pretty funny. It's Magma Opus. 6 a blue and a red for an instant. Magma Opus deals 4 damage divided as you choose among any number of targets. Tap 2 target permanents. Create a 4/4 blue and red elemental creature token. Draw 2 cards. It also has an ability on it as an instant that's very interesting. It says you can play blue-blue, red-red, or blue-red to discard Magma Opus, create a treasure token. So you can literally discard this card from your hand without casting it as an instant and make a treasure token for 2 mana at instant speed.
So they had something like this in the Prismari Precon, and I didn't like it. I actually kind of like this Magma Opus.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to say Magnum Opus or something.
You want to say Magnum Opus because that's the actual term, but it's a Magma Opus.
Magma Opus.
Fire!
I actually like this. Here's the thing. It's so splashy. You still draw 2 cards. You do everything. You might not get tons of value off of all of it.
Yeah,
you know?
Only 4 damage is just whatever.
Yeah,
but
tapping things down is just whatever. But you do get to draw 2 cards. I think it's fun and splashy, and I really wish that this was in the commander deck instead of the main set.
Ah, yeah. I mean, look, if you play cards like Ignite the Future or Spell Twine, you're going to find ways to copy this and cast it for free or whatever. Mizzix of Theas Magnus, this does seem like a card that would be fun in there. Calamax, maybe.
I think that there are a ton of better instance to cast than this because you do pay a lot of mana for a lot of effects that I think you could get better, but it seems fun. I like it. I also like the little side effect of being able to discard it and getting a treasure token because you can cheat a bunch of things into play from your graveyard much easier than you can cast it.
That's why I want to put this in a Riel the Everwise deck, because you can discard it early, you draw a card from Riel, and you create a treasure token, and then later on maybe you can rebuy it somehow.
2 mana, draw a card, create a treasure. That's pretty good.
Pretty good. Yeah. I would play that. Okay, let's get into Lorehold, the red-white color combination here. Lorehold basically taking Boros and making it much better than it was before.
Except you're about to read a very Boros card right now.
Yeah, it's interesting because I thought that all the Lorehold cards would be like our precon that we reviewed.
I mean, and some of these are that I really like, and then there's, read it.
Yeah, okay, so this is, again, any combination of red or white for 4 total. It's a 2/3 human cleric attacking creatures you control at double strike. Woo! Okay.
It's so attacky-tacky. But here's the thing. Like, if you look at Berserker's Onslaught, it's cheaper than Berserker's Onslaught.
Yeah, it's and four. It's cheaper than True Conviction.
Yeah, True Conviction does give lifelink too, but that's six mana.
Yeah.
Three white. Yeah.
This is a creature that can die pretty easily, but in terms of giving the ability, it seems pretty powerful in the right decks, of course.
Yep.
Okay, next up, Radiant Scroll Wielder. Two, a red and a white for a 2/4 creature dwarf cleric. Instant and sorcery spells you control have lifelink.
That's fun.
At the beginning of your upkeep, exile an instant or sorcery card at random from your graveyard. You may cast it this turn. If a spell cast this way would be put into your graveyard, exile it instead. Okay, that's a bit of value there. That reminds me of Charmbreaker Devils, of Wildfire Devils.
I want to be able to cast it for free.
That's a good point.
Wildfire Devils does, like, it's random, but you do get to cast the spell for free. I like this to give spells lifelink, though. That's a fun thing.
It's the Fire Song and Sunspeaker thing there.
Yeah.
I think this is a decent card. The fact that it can buy you back something from your graveyard is something that red and white hasn't really been able to do. It is random still, but you can find ways to control that as well.
Reconstruct History.
Yay!
Two red, white for a sorcery. Return up to one target artifact card, one target enchantment card, one target instant card, up to one target sorcery card, and up to one target planeswalker card.
No creatures, but five?
Five different types. You have to have this thing, so you can't loop it. But
of course not.
But five things for four mana in Lorehold colors.
Yeah, we were really excited about this when we talked about it in our pre-con reveal. This is something, right? Like, I think you are happy getting back three things.
So happy. I am so happy getting back three things.
Maybe even two things, right? It's a four mana draw two out of your graveyard, instant sorcery.
There are green decks that have four mana return two things.
Yeah.
You know, like there are bad green cards that say five mana return any two things. You know, four mana return two things is fine. This is great.
Not to mention it's an uncommon. This just seems like one of the most powerful Boros cards, Lorehold cards ever printed. Just saying.
He's just saying. In the comments.
That's a lot of value.
In the comments.
I mean,
Jimmy, I'm having a hard time thinking of one that I like more than this card, but I'm sure there is one and they're going to let you know in the comments.
I like Winota, maybe, Joiner of Forces, because it's a commander and it can do a lot of cool stuff. But Reconstruct History, you would be hard pressed to not put this in every single deck that runs these colors, because when are you not going to have instant and sorceries at some point in your graveyard, or artifacts or enchantments that are getting blown up, whatever it is? Like, this works across a lot of different archetypes. It's super efficient, and obviously it sucks early game, but if you're restricted to Boros colors or Lorehold colors, I see no reason not to try and run this.
This isn't an early game play. This is a mid to late game play.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Great in Kaikar decks too, because you got tons of non-creature spells there.
So good. All right, let's look at the next one. Rip Apart.
Ooh.
Red, white for a sorcery. Choose one. Rip Apart deals three damage to target creature or planeswalker, or destroy target artifact or enchantment.
Oh, this reminds me of another card. This is an uncommon, by the way, and it's only two mana, red, white. So destroy target artifact or enchantment for a sorcery speed. Do we like that?
Yeah. It's okay. I mean, you need to all the time.
Yeah.
Like, you need this flexibility.
Three damage to card creature or planeswalker.
Again, like, you need to be able to take out some of these smaller creatures out there.
I like the flexibility here. I hate that it's a sorcery, right? A braid reminds me a bit of a braid, but you can get rid of an artifact, enchantment, or potentially a creature. Now, however, you wrote this down. Were you running wear and tear in your decks before this?
Are you running wear and tear?
I'm not. Okay. But I also don't play much Boros, so...
I wasn't either, but wear and tear is one in a red to destroy target artifact at instant speed.
Mm-hmm.
A single white to destroy target enchantment at instant speed. And you can fuse them and pay...
Three to do both.
You can never do both with Rip Apart.
Yeah, you have to do either artifact or enchantment or deal three damage.
And I think that the big thing that pushes you over is instant speed.
Yeah, for sure. So Rip Apart, I could, again, you know, it's the same with the black and white removal now. Lay them out in front of you if you're playing Boros and see, does this fit better for my meta? Is there always a three power creature? Is a braid just better? Or do I have to be able to get rid of enchantments too? Do, like, I need wear and tear?
Yeah, there are, like, some really annoying little utility creatures or little dorks. Like, you could be playing against an elf meta, or, like, this person's running Urza and this person's running elves, and you're just like, Rip Apart is perfect.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, the last Lorehold card is one of my favorite cards in the set, actually. It's Venerable Warsinger. One red and a white for a 3/3 spirit cleric with vigilance and trample. By the way, if anyone loves clerics, there's all sorts of clerics in this set, so I'm sure you
clerics
can
find and something. Warlocks. I'm a fan of the warlocks.
Yeah. So this is a 3-mana 3/3 with vigilance and trample. Whenever Venerable Warsinger deals combat damage to a player, you may return target creature card with mana value X or less from your graveyard to the battlefield, where X is the amount of damage Venerable Warsinger dealt to that player. So this has vigilance and trample on it. Two of the best keywords when it comes to equipment decks. And so I think Venerable Warsinger, again, Lorehold's not always about equipments, but this card definitely seems like it.
Because the bigger you get, the bigger things that you can pull back from the graveyard.
Yep. Okay. It's also not a human, so I think this is a slam dunk in your Winota deck to get stuff back. Let's get this paper out here. Yeah! Nice. You wrote Alesha Who Smiles at Death because there are a lot of 2 CMC cards, right?
Yeah, there are. So this could do an impression of it, but it doesn't get it back itself.
Yeah.
You know?
This can actually also return a creature that dies in the combat that it is in with the Venerable Warsinger, because let's say we all attack, you block one of them, it dies. This trigger goes on the stack, but state-based actions are going to check for the creature to die first, and then you can target it with the Venerable Warsinger. You can even, in a crazy world, if you manage to do 3 damage, have the Venerable Warsinger die in combat and then have it bring itself back.
Interesting. So let's say you have like a...
an equipment
but something that pumps it up 3. What's the one that goes 3+0, lifelink and trample?
Behemoth Sledge?
Yeah, except for...
Or no,
locks
no.
It on Warhammer.
It locks on Warhammer.
Yeah, locks
yeah,
it
yeah,
on
yeah.
Warhammer. And
Behemoth Sledge is very different, so yeah. Sorry.
They do it...
It's that one's massive. That's like a +10+10,
no,
right?
That's Colossal Hammer. Behemoth Sledge is exactly the same, just +2/+2 and has green and white in it.
DJ, you know your cards better than I do.
You literally named a card that has the exact same mechanics as Luxon and Warhammer. But anyways, like that would be a thing where it basically gives it, you know,
yeah.
Gets it in, it kills it, but it's like, oh, I did 3 damage.
Yep.
Or Colossal Hammer, like you said. I like that better.
This fits really well into equipment decks. Like Akiri wants a lot of creatures attacking that are equipped up, so this seems really good there. You could also just recur really annoying creatures like Selfless Savior and Selfless Spirit every single time.
Ooh.
And so that way you're always giving Indestructible, and this thing just sticks around and keeps hammering in.
I think you need equipment in this because I've always had trouble with the deals damage to a player.
Yeah.
In the early game, I'm always able to get it through, but there's never a creature in my graveyard then. And when I really want the creatures back, it seems like the board's all gummed up and I can never get a 3/3 through.
Yep. Nice thing though, Vigilance and Trample. So great keywords for that equipment deck. Okay, let's go to Quandrix. Green and blue. Woohoo!
All right, this is Body of Research. Green, 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 blue, blue, blue for Six sorcery. Create a 0/0 green and blue fractal creature token. Put X +1/+1 counters on it, where X is the number of cards in your library.
Whoa! Okay, this is the card you want to fling.
Keyword big.
Yeah, you want to fling this sucker. You want to throw this so hard at your opponent because it's going to be a 60-60.
Do you want to say, like, is a 60-60 is fundamentally, in many cases, the same as, like, a 20-20. You know what I mean? Like,
true, unless you fling it. I'm just obsessed with flinging. What if you sacked
the wrong colors,
to Altar of Dementia?
Okay. There you go.
Mill someone for a ton, maybe 80 cards, who knows?
All right, I can see that. You know, there are a lot of different things in green that give trample. There are things in blue that give flying.
Right.
So this could be just a one-off kill.
Yeah, make it fly,
enough,
give it
is this
evasion.
Big enough to be playable? Like, suddenly, does it reach the idea of, like, well, this is finally the mana cost that we need to just have a big thing and have it work?
I mean, 6 mana for something that big in Commander, it seems pretty good, right? Like, obviously, this is even pretty good in, like, Limited. If you make this a 30-30 or whatever, or,
oh,
like,
just
a 25-25,
yeah. You just keep attacking, and they just have to keep throwing creatures in front of it.
Yeah.
It could operate the same way in Commander, too.
Yeah, you want to put Trample on it.
Yeah. Do you know what I want for this?
What?
I want it in a deck that has the Ozolith in it.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, so when it dies, you just throw all those counters somewhere else.
Well, because here's the thing. I can see this thing being interrupted with so easily.
Oh,
I can
yeah.
See
it. Who doesn't want to immediately kill this?
Like, the bounced or killed or whatever. I kind of want to, like, save the counters or move the counters around. Something
yeah,
like
yeah,
that.
Yeah. This is a lot of +1/+1 counters. If you can find a way to scoot that around, that's
just doubling
sure.
Season, so you get 2, and then you double.
Doubling season.
You need it to be bigger, obviously.
Win more. Okay, next up we got Golden Ratio. 1, a green and a blue for a sorcery. Draw a card for each different power among creatures you control.
So I was talking about this with Josh, and he kind of liked it, and I'm a little
really?
Bit...
Really?
I'm a little bit down on it.
I hate it. Okay. I think this sucks. Sorry. Because like, right, like one green and a blue.
Well, he was telling me that he would be fine. Like this would be fine if it just drew two cards.
Yeah, but then you just have divination, which will always draw you two cards.
But this could draw you seven or something like that.
It could, right?
Actually, no, it's really hard to draw because you need a zero, a one, a two, a three, a four. A five.
Yeah.
Like you can't just have seven creatures. They need to be all different.
I mean, maybe that's the problem with this is that you need a creature on the battlefield for each card you want to draw with it. So even that alone, right? Having five creatures on the battlefield, what if only two of them have different powers and then you're only drawing two cards, but you have all these creatures?
I like my card draw to be able to get me out of bad situations, to be able to get me that land drop, to be able to develop my board, to be able to play as I'm developing everything. And this only works when I have a board presence. And that's usually when I'm cool doing other things rather than drawing cards.
Maybe in like a crazy plus one counters deck where you can move them around.
Do you know what? I've seen a lot of decks with plus one counters that have like varying, like, you know, different counters on all sorts of different things.
Yeah. But at a certain point, right? Because Golden Ratio also just draws you zero cards a lot of the time. Board wipe? Oh, sorry, your golem ratio you just drew really looks awful. I think this is meant to mix with the fractals because you're adding a certain number of plus one counters on them.
And they're all different. You can kind of move them around. Stuff like
yeah.
That.
So
it's not that unlikely to draw two off that pretty consistently, though.
Yeah, I think two is your baseline. But even then, like, I'd much rather have a guaranteed divination on turn three rather than a, right, like you're ramping into a golem ratio and then you're like, well, what am I supposed to do with this now?
Yeah, okay. Double Major is my card. It's a green and a blue for an instant. Copy target creature spell you control, except it isn't legendary if the spell is legendary. So the way that it works is when you copy spells, you have a creature spell on the stack, and you're like, hang on, I'm going to do something before this creature spell I just cast resolves. You cast Double Major and do-do-do-do, creature token.
Yay. So interesting because you can make a copy of your commander. Right? It makes it not legendary.
That's always good, I think. The fact that you can abuse more legendaries is what saves this card a little bit, I think.
Yeah, and you have to sit there and hold up two extra mana to do so.
See, that's the part that really gets me, because you want to be playing your spells, especially your powerful spells, but part of you is like, oh, I just want to wait one more turn so I can double it.
Yeah. That's never going to land you. You're going to find that, oh, shoot, so much has changed in that turn cycle that I wish I didn't count.
Yeah, it's
that.
Just not a good play pattern. It's not a good way to play the game, and it might end up rewarding you and it feels good sometimes, but it's wrong more often than you think. You should probably just play your spell.
I should just play it. Yeah, and it has to be a spell you control. You can't copy someone else's. Notably, this isn't creating a token, right? You're copying a target creature spell that becomes a token. So Doubling Season, Anointed Procession.
Oh, cool.
It doesn't work with those.
Oh, it doesn't work?
Yeah, because you're not creating a token. You're just, I think, and I looked this up. Reddit told me otherwise. So Reddit, you're wrong. I'm wrong too. Yeah, because you're copying a spell on the stack and then the spell becomes a token. You're not creating a token on the battlefield.
Does the spell create the token?
A copy of a creature spell becomes a token. Does not create a token.
Oh.
Yeah.
This is interesting. Man, Magic is a hard game.
Yeah, really, right? No kidding. Hey,
thanks,
new player,
Reddit.
Did you want to hear that sentence I said again and be interested in playing the game? Probably not.
The person was like so pumped about like the creature the size of your deck, and now they're like, what is
this?
Magic?
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Like, I think that there are other cards out there that copy just a little bit better.
Yeah.
I like Bramble Sovereign. 4 mana, 4/4. You can just pay one in a green and make a token copy of whatever's there.
I don't see that card played very often.
I think it's because it's expensive for what it does. Mm-hmm. It's kind of an expensive card. But I love Bramble Sovereign. This has me thinking of Riku of Two Reflections.
Right.
So a Riku decks can oftentimes have this effect. And they're like, well, I'll play just like a, you know, Fibblethip, you know, right. I'll double it up. This would double up a Fibblethip really nicely.
Okay. This is also cool because this could technically protect a creature. If someone's trying to counter like something that you cast and you have Double Major up, they counter it, you Double Major your creature spell, you still get that creature on the battlefield because of Double Major.
Yeah.
So, you know, just, I don't know, random upside, I guess.
Yeah, because you've copied the spell, but their counter still got what it got. You know what I mean? It still got the card.
True. You just had to do something to get it. But I still need it. Okay. The last Quandrix card we'll talk about is Manifestation Sage. This is the last one in the cycle of the 4-mana value of the sort of hybrid colors. This is any combination of green or blue for 4 total. It's a 2/2 human wizard. When it enters the battlefield, create a 0/0 green and blue fractal creature token. Put X +1/+1 counters on it, where X is the number of cards in your hand. So this is a 2-for-1. You play this, you get a 2/2, and then you might get like a 5/5, a 6/6, or maybe even a 1/1, depending on how many cards are left in your hand. It seems okay.
It seems fine.
I think the way...
Do you want tokens? Like, do you...
Yeah, do you want tokens? Can you blink this 100 times?
Yeah.
Maybe. If not, doesn't seem that great.
There's a lot of creatures out there that make tokens, but I do like that it's a more interesting token.
Yeah.
All right. We are done with all of the two color cards in here. And now we just have some colorless cards left.
Yay.
I like this one, Jimmy. It's Mascot Exhibition.
My favorite kind.
What? Your favorite kind of exhibition?
Mascots? I don't know. Ignore me.
Seven mana for a sorcery lesson, if lessons matter. They don't. Create a 2/1 black and white inkling creature token with flying, a 3/2 red and white spirit creature token, and a 4/4 blue and red elemental creature token.
Wait.
Three tokens, seven mana.
I thought there were five colleges.
Guess they're searching for Blex.
Searching for Blex. So, can't find Blex.
I think that's why, right?
That's hilarious.
But they don't have their pest in here because they're still searching for Blex.
They're searching for Blex.
They can't find it.
Yeah, they can't find the last one. Okay. Okay, so seven mana. This is a lot of mana, but you get nine mana worth of power, and one of them's a flyer, and the other two are just elemental creature tokens. Or spirit creature tokens or an elemental creature token. You wrote some other cards that do similar things in the past here. Menace.
Yeah, I think Tristani Summoner is the closest one. But Tristani Summoner, just like you blink it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And still, it's not like you see like, oh, Tristani Summoner, it's amazing everywhere.
It's just
people occasionally see it in some of those decks and they like, hey, I want to blink it.
Oh, cool. Look at all the things I just made.
I like some people like tokens. You know, I have a token deck that just likes weird tokens.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I might play this where it's just like, okay, I'm trying to get all of the weird tokens in Magic, the ones that you haven't seen before. And gets three of them.
That's funny. Yeah. You know? And it's colorless. If you're in a sideboard format, maybe this is a great target for a learn card because it's something you can just cast in the game no matter what.
If someone said they had a learn package, would you let them play it? Rule zero?
No. Well,
Jimmy's so ruthless.
Rule zero. But then you get that one person that wants to play the Eldrazi one where they get to put all the Eldrazi in the game. And it's like, oh boy.
Jimmy's like, sure, you can play your lesson. And someone's like, oh great, I got my wish package.
Yeah, exactly. I guess if it was a lesson because it's Strixhaven, I'd be like, sure, let's see it. And if it was so like, meh, then maybe the next time. But you know, if they built around learning and lessons and stuff and wanted to teach people things, that'd be kind of cool. I think, you know, different types of tokens are cool. Maybe if you just have like a Divine Visitation out, then you can just make them all 4/4s.
I like how Divine Visitation is this. It's like, because there's so many different ways to just get 3/1s.
Yeah, right.
For three mana, and you're just like, just make them into 4/4s.
Never mind. I forget what I said. Seven mana. Don't ever play this with Divine Visitation.
The next card is so much better. It's just like a joke to talk about the exhibition.
I'd say maybe the last thing about this is like Brutaclad might be a good place for this.
Sure.
Okay. All right. We're just going to spoil it. This is probably DJ and I's favorite card in the set. It's Wandering Archaic. 5 mana for a 4/4 creature avatar with 8 arms.
It's a spider.
It's a spider. Oh, wait. I don't like it anymore.
Keep going your spider decks.
Whenever an opponent casts an instant or sorcery spell, they may pay 2 mana. If they don't, you may copy that spell. You may choose new targets for the copy. There's also a backside called Explore the Vastlands. It's a 3-mana sorcery. Each player looks at the top 5 cards of their library, reveals a land card and or an instant sorcery card from them, and then puts the cards they revealed this way into their hand and the rest on the bottom of their library in a random order. Each player gains 3 life. So that's like everyone gets to look at 5 cards and reveal up to 2 cards pretty much for 3 mana. No. Wandering Archaic, however, yes.
Oh my gosh. Just... what are you going to do? Are you just not going to play your instants and sorceries? Are you going to play them so far off curve that you're like...
yeah.
Yeah, that's what you're going to have to do. Are you going to
pay the 2? Oh my gosh, it's Rhystic Study all over again. But in this case...
are you going to pay the 2? No.
No.
You get a full-on Cultivate.
Yeah, fine.
You
know,
you get the exact same Divination I'm playing, or you get the Time Stretch or whatever.
That's right. Time Walk and Time Stretch.
Or not Time Walk, but you know what I mean.
Yeah. Time effects. Extra turn effects.
Just all of them.
Just think of all
the great instants and sorcery spells in here. Like, and here's the thing as well. Like, worst case scenario, I think that happens that people are like, this thing needs to die.
They remove it.
And they remove it.
With an instant or sorcery.
And I think that they don't pay for it. They just remove it, and then you get to replace the card by killing something else with that same removal spell.
Yeah, this seems like such a powerful card, especially if you're playing like Belby. You can dunk this out early, and then you're just going to steal everyone's ramp spells, because no one's going to want to pay 2 extra for their Farseek. No way.
You don't play 4 mana for a Farseek, so instead you get to Farseek. Like, this will... this will get you some value.
It's really sweet because a lot of times, right, if someone's trying to play their Expropriate, they're not playing it with two extra mana.
They're not gonna, no. But they also wouldn't play it into this, I think. I think that this would actually just shut it down. They would look for something else.
Flash it in.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's on cast, so you have to wait. Yeah. So
backside, Jimmy. The front side's amazing. Backside, Jimmy. You ever going to cast this?
No. Get that backside away from me. Because, like, who would ever want to, unless you're playing a group hug deck, in which case, kind of nice, right? Everyone gets to get maybe two cards and then gain some life.
It's actually pretty good value for a colorless thing.
Oh, like, my gosh. It's super good value. Yeah.
Yeah.
Look at the top five cards, get a land and an instant or sorcery. That's pretty sweet.
Yeah, that's a good rate. I mean, it sucks that everyone gets it, but, you know, if you're group hug.
Yeah. Decks that might want to play Wandering Archaic, we said Animar would be really good because you can reduce the mana cost. Nikia of the Old Ways, because you can't cast non-creature spells, but now you just cast your opponent's non-creature spells. So pretty sweet. I like this card a lot. And the art is just really neat. Good job, Wayne Reynolds. I dig it.
It's great.
Okay, let's talk about the artifacts now before we move on to the lands, and then we're done. With this part of the
There's so many more things to do because this is a crazy time of year for us.
Yeah, this is and it came out of nowhere, it feels like. Okay, Strixhaven Stadium, where you can play your game that's kind of like another game that we're not going to talk about. It's 3 mana for an artifact. Tap it to add colorless mana and then put a point counter on Strixhaven Stadium. Whenever a creature deals combat damage to you, remove a point counter from Strixhaven Stadium. It's like you're earning points. All right, here's the fun part. Whenever a creature you control deals combat damage to an opponent, put a point counter on Strixhaven Stadium. Then, if it has 10 or more point counters on it, remove them all, and that player loses the game. Game.
This is very interesting. It's very cute. Don't you just play this and suddenly everyone attacks you?
Yes, 100%. Because they're like, how many point counters on that? Okay, goodbye. Or they just remove it because it's an artifact. Now, at its core, it's a 3-mana tap add mana. So it's a mana rock, right? And that makes
So at its core, it's fine.
Yeah, like, it's fine. It's not great. It's not any color, but it can at least do that. I mean,
I just think you get attacked constantly.
Yeah. I think what you want to do with this is find a way to untap it and tap it a bunch so that you can get those point counters and then you only need to hit someone once. So people are talking about go wide Derevi decks because they just, you know, swing in a bunch, untap your permanence.
You get it from the, like, Derevi untaps it and also adds it because it hits people.
Yeah, and you keep tapping and then Derevi kills someone. Or if you're in the Krenko deck, an Edric deck, an Elf deck. I think any go wide deck, if you don't have, right, your Creator of Behemoth, but you can hit someone and get up to 10 counters on this, that could be a way to do it because it's any time you're dealing combat damage to an opponent, so it could be anyone, right?
It is a fun way to kill someone.
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of fun ways to kill people, and this is just one player at a time, and you're like, maybe you could build a whole deck around the Strixhaven Stadium and that you want to play games and stuff. That could be kind of interesting.
All right, how about this? Fractured Identity, all three of you have Strixhaven Stadiums, go.
That's hilarious. That would be really fun. Then everyone's playing the game.
Everyone's playing the game, and they, like, really, can they spend any time attacking you when all three of them have Strixhaven Haven?
Yeah, that's going to turn into its own mini metagame. Everyone's like, wait, he's got 6 points. Get him. Oh my God, she's up to 9. No way. So Strixhaven Stadium is a fun card. I don't think it'll see too much play, but it's a fun one. Okay, Zephyr Boots. 1 mana for an artifact equipment. By the way, happening inside the Strixhaven Stadium in the art. It's got an equip cost of 2. Equip creature has flying. Whenever equip creature deals combat damage to a player, draw a card, then discard a card. So it's Loot Boots.
It's uncommon. It gives evasion and lets you loot. Sometimes it's pretty cheap to equip. Sometimes in white and red, you can want that kind of stuff. I think Mask of Memory is underplayed.
Yeah. I mean, you're drawing cards with Mask, right? Oh, no, you're drawing.
You are, because you're drawing. You are discarding, but I think you draw 2 and discard 2. 1.
Yeah. So Zephyr Boots, I like it because I remember Looter's Scooter, everyone's favorite card that got banned. Thopter?
Smuggler's Copter.
Zephyr Boots does that kind of for a creature. And the equip cost is 2, but just to play it is 1. So it's pretty efficient, all things considered. I actually don't mind this equipment. I could see this being an equipment decks to give that. Flying is great evasion in Magic.
And I think that a lot of times equipment are really expensive. We talk about swords, we talk about GTAs and all this other stuff.
Yeah.
And there's so much money. I think that you can run equipment decks that have relevant equipment that are really cheap. And Zephyr Boots is going to be a good budget option. So throwing in the budget option there, because not everyone needs to have a sword of blank and blank.
And there's always going to be someone you can swing at with flying and they can't block you. Okay, now we got some lands. First up, we got the Biblioplex. You can tap it to add a colorless, or you can pay 2 to tap. Look at the top card of your library. If it's an instant or a sorcery card, you may reveal it and put it into your hand. If you don't put the card into your hand, you may put it into your graveyard. Activate only if you have exactly 0 or 7 cards in hand.
Boo.
This car was looking fine up until that point.
Boo.
Now this is like Library of Alexandria. You can only do this. What? No, this is so hard to manage in Commander. It's a lot to deal with and for a really minimal effect.
I am just so sad they used such an amazing art on such a mediocre card.
Yeah, it's pretty cool art, isn't it?
Yeah.
I want to be there. I want to study there too.
All right. They gave us a land cycle called the Snarls.
Snarls.
So basically these kinds of lands, they come into play tapped unless you reveal a land, and it doesn't have to be a basic land. It just has to have the land type. So this is the Shine.
Shadow Snarl.
Shine Shadow Snarl.
We chose the best one to talk about. I know, right? So clearly.
So basically this is the black white one, the silver quill one. And so in order to play it, if you want to play it untapped, you have to reveal a swamp or a plains. It can be a scrubland. If you have that, it'll come into play untapped. Otherwise it'll come into play tapped. We had a cycle of these in non-enemy colors and they were budget and boring.
Yep. I mean, they're great budget duels, right? Don't get us wrong.
Right now, they're not budget, so don't buy them now.
Yeah, wait for these to rotate out. And, you know, fortunately, I think this is the way that WotC is going to give us the dual lands without giving us dual lands for a while. And it's going to be more accessible, you know, and they can come into play untapped. You just need to have the matching lands on it. They're a little bit worse, obviously, once you get into three-color territory.
Yeah, better in two-color because you're really likely to have a basic of the other of one
yeah,
of the
or,
two types.
Yeah, one of the types, is, exactly. So the Snarl cycle, it's going to be here for quite a while. And because this is the main set, don't rush to buy them if they're expensive now. You know, wait for them to drop in price.
Yeah, don't let standard be a thing or something like that. But yeah, pick them up. Hopefully you can pick them up super cheap and make your two color mana bases a little bit better.
Okay. All right. Now let's move on to what we think are the most powerful cards and our favorite new cards. And I'm not going to lie, I think we actually straight up agree on almost everything here.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. So the most powerful card you said was...
I said Reconstruct History, because I think it's also powerful for the color too, that Boros or Lorehold didn't have this kind of stuff before. And the fact that we can have access to card advantage from our graveyard in these colors is just great. It just makes me feel so good.
Yeah, it's so nice. And more of that for Lorehold, please. More value that is in its own sort of category. This Artifact Matters theme seems great, you know?
Just a 5-for-1.
Just a classic 5-for-1 in red and white.
Oh, man.
Even if you get 3 for 1.
So good.
4-for-1. So good. The card that I thought was the most powerful is Wandering Archaic. Get this out early. Just make everyone's spells yours. It's like a Rhystic Study, right? Like, no one wants to pay the 2, especially if they're trying to cast cheap spells. Like, imagine the deck that's, like, all about casting cantrips and stuff. Now you're getting all of them, and they're just going to go, yeah, that's fine. I'm not going to stop you, but okay.
Yeah, I agree with you. Wandering Archaic, very, very good.
And that's actually your favorite new card.
Yeah, that's my favorite new card.
One of my favorite new cards, too. I do also like Venerable Warsinger quite a lot. It's another Boros card, as well as Reconstruct History. Just a lot of fun stuff in this set. Really looking forward to playing Wandering Archaic in every deck I can slam it into, though.
That's every deck.
Yeah, it's every deck. It's called a list. Woohoo! Okay, to the listener, what are your favorite cards from this set? What are your most powerful? What are the interactions that we missed or the ones that you think are no one else knows? And what decks are you going to put some of these cards in? We can't wait to see what you say in the comments on to us on Twitter, Instagram, on our Discord, wherever you may be. And don't forget, if you want to pick up any of these cards, head on over to cardking.com/commandzone right now. You can pick up the cards. They're going to ship them to you fast. If the set is out, you can get your pre-orders in for future sets like Forgotten Realms, D&D. Oh my gosh.
Get a Wandering Archaic.
Archaic. Yeah, just do it. Just do it quick. Do it fast. And then, you know, wait, because a lot of this set's probably going to get open. Get one down the line because they're going to be a lot out in circulation.
That's right.
And Ultra Pro. They make the playmats. We have these amazing Commander playmats in front of us every single time new Magic product comes out. Ultra Pro has got you covered with the original official art on these amazing printed playmats. I've had so many Ultra Pro playmats for so long. They all maintain their amazing quality over the years as well. Can't recommend them enough.
They have a Bibliotech playmat.
Oh, really?
It's over in that stack over
sick.
There. Yeah, so it's got some good art.
Nice. All right, everyone. Thanks so much for watching. We have no end step today. We're going to go straight up to the cleanup step, and we got to thank our team here. Manson Lung, Craig Blanchett, Ashlyn Rose, Lady Danger, Alfred DeSocco, Josh Murphy, Jake Boss, Patrick Nan, Jordan Pridgen, I stumbled, Arthur Meadowcroft, Sam Waldo, and Gaurav Galati. And special thanks to Jeffrey Palmer, who does this Living Card animation behind us. He does them in front of our show as well. You can find him on Twitter at LivingCardsMTG. Whew, DJ,
you're going to want to subscribe. You're going to want to make sure that you get updates of the show because we're not done. There's still more episodes.
So much more. All the EDH stuff as well. Don't forget, Jumbo Commander is doing some stuff as well. You had the deck tech up there.
Yeah, right? I'm going to be making deck techs about a lot of different things.
Sick.
I don't know when this episode's coming out, but there are no legendaries right here to talk about.
Nope.
But there's definitely going to be a lot of deck techs over there. So,
well, I'm sure you're going to put Wandering Archaic in all your decks, right?
I'm definitely going to put it in a bunch.
Nice.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see it. Make sure you check that stuff out. And of course, thank you so much for watching. We'll see you next time.
Bye-bye, everyone.
Peace.
Thank you for your attention. For further inquiries, send an email to commandcast@rocketjump.com or ask us on Twitter @JFWong and @JoshLeeKwai. See you later, alligator.
Greetings, humans.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now, all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.